Welcome to the Equipping You in Grace podcast, hosted by Dave Jenkins. The Equipping You in Grace podcast is a podcast about helping Christians develop a biblical worldview in a conversational tone about issues inside and outside the church. Now, for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
All right, guys. Well, welcome back to the Equipping You in Grace podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this show. And today I have my good buddy, Joey Tomlinson, with me. And we're going to talk about grief and loss. Joey, as we get started, it's been a while since we've had you on. Do you want to catch us up on what's been happening with you, brother?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on. And so... for those who don't know me, I guess I maybe introduce myself a little bit. My name is Joey. I'm the husband to Braden, and we have three boys, Henry, Owen, and Ames. And so it is the best kind of chaos in my home. I pastor a church over in Newport News, Virginia, called Deer Park Fellowship. It's a relatively new church plant, and so we have been officially planted for about a year now, and so that's kind of been a recent development, but a few years in the making, as you know, Dave, and but behind the scenes working on a couple of books that I hope will be published here shortly, one on depression with H&E Publishing, and then one on Jonathan Edwards and his 70 resolutions with Ichthus Publishing. So, yeah.
Excited about those, and look forward to talking to you on here about those, of course.
Yeah, man. Thank you, my brother.
Yeah, man. Exciting. Well, guys, today we're going to talk about, as I mentioned, grief and loss. And Joey, you know, I think it's okay to say this. Joey and I have been sitting here over the last about 8 or 9 months now, talking about my grief and my loss, and he's been such a help to me in an encouragement to me. On October 13th, I think it was 2021, my dear friend and mentor, he's actually my adopted big brother. Now he went to be with the Lord. A couple years ago, he had a heart attack, stroke, and he had a stent in his heart, and then he got COVID. And it went pretty fast. He was doing pretty well, and then he ended up in the ICU unit on his stomach because he had a really intense, he had the COVID pneumonia, and, his lungs, I guess, were, I didn't realize how bad. He didn't tell me, of course. That was just how he was. Didn't want me to worry about it. And tell me about it later. But, he was making the turn, and then he had a stroke. He had blood clots in his brain and then in his leg, and they did emergency surgery. They were able to get it out of his leg, but not all of the clots out of his brain. And so it was kind of interesting because around about 2 o'clock, I told Sarah, I think he's going to be gone. And she's like, don't say that. And then we went to small group that night, and when I got back, I made a phone call to somebody in Idaho that knows the situation, and he said, "Yeah, Mike went to be with the Lord," and we just got notified. And whew, I think for the first couple of weeks, I was probably in denial. I think it took quite a while to deal with that. As you know, brother. And, then I just started realizing I've never dealt with this. I know how to counsel people that are grieving. I know how to counsel people that are hurting. I seem to attract a lot of hurting people and people that have gone through a lot of pain. But, this was something other. This is something very different, and I didn't know how to deal with it. And I said to my wife a couple times, I said, I think I need to have biblical counseling for this. And that's where I, you know, texted you, because you and I have known each other now for like going on 7 years. It's hard to believe.
It's been a while. Yeah.
Yeah. And you and I have developed a pretty close friendship, and was really thankful for that. Am thankful for that. And I knew that you knowing some of the back history with that, so I didn't have to explain too much of it, would be easier on me. And having that, talking through it, being able to talk through it and have some biblical perspective on it has been good. And then talking with it, with people here locally and other friends as well, has been a help to me. So,
yeah. I mean, I found that some of just even giving you the space to process, because as you said, I mean, you've done a lot of counsel, you've given a lot of counsel to people. And so I don't know if anything that I had to share with you was biblically groundbreaking, so much as just reminding you of what you already know, but also giving you the space to try to work through things and process things, and hopefully by God's grace point out some of my own observations of your struggle, which was, you know, grief has both a physical impact on you, and that feeds into the spiritual stuff, and the spiritual stuff feeds into the physical stuff, and it's just kind of this cycle, this hamster wheel that can put you in a pretty dark place if you're not proactive at addressing that in a way that honors the Lord. So
yeah, I think probably the biggest thing that helped me was the rest aspect. I think I have been intentional over the last, since probably you and I have known each other, in that area, but I think this made me even be more proactive in just making sure that, you know, really making sure that unless I have to do something and get it done, making sure that I have that time to rest, and even just being okay taking a nap and being done for the day when I'm really sad. I think that's why I'm at the place today where I'm at. I think if I pushed it more, I would probably not have made some of the gains that I have. And by saying gains, like even today as we recorded this, I saw Mike's wife's post, and before we recorded this, I was crying. And Joey saw that. And, you know, that's just being really real. Some people, I think we're afraid sometimes as Christian leaders just to come out and kind of let our emotions on our sleeve. But, you know, sometimes I think it's really appropriate. I know that people have said to me when I share my parents, they're like, you know, thank you for saying that, because they see that it's not just, you know, you're putting all this content and stuff out there, but they see you're actually, you have struggles too. And that actually is the most encouraging thing. And it's not an inappropriate thing. I know some people take exception to that. I understand their arguments and stuff, but I think that it is good, you know, to share about in an appropriate way about what's happening. Whether that's in a sermon or in an article or a book or other things, I think that it's really helpful and helps people to see, like, hey, you're a real person and you have real struggles. You're not the Savior and you're not the Holy Spirit. But you trust the Lord and you're working through things. So that's really my hope with this episode, even in when I do share, is that people won't just say, hey, it's not about me. It's about Christ in me, right? It's about the hope that and the comfort that God does provide.
I think that going back to just you being vulnerable and kind of sharing your own struggle, and I mean, it's a vulnerable thing to even talk about your counsel, you know, you being counseled by me and us meeting and talking and all of that. Like, it's a pretty vulnerable thing to put out there for people. But I, when I read the Psalms in particular, you see a lot of Holy Spirit-inspired vulnerability in the psalmists. And I think one of the things that we wrestle with as Christians, especially if you're a Christian that's in some place of leadership, is the act of lament when things aren't as they should be, right? Just recognizing that there is brokenness in this world that was introduced because of the sin of Adam, and that the Lord has given us vocabulary to express our grief in faith and in a way that the grief doesn't embitter us or make us angry toward God, but it in turn draws us close to God. And so to have pastors and ministry leaders and, you know, parachurch ministry leaders that are modeling that is, I think, a healthy thing to do. And I think you have been modeling that well as you've sought to kind of appropriately share just about your own grief and your struggles and even things you get right, things you get wrong in the midst of that whole process is also helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good. You know, and I just on that point, like, I don't want to say that I do this perfectly by any means. I don't, you know, just because I talk about it doesn't mean that I, as with everything, we talk a lot in ministry and whatever ministry we're in. We do a lot of teaching and counseling and helping of people. But how are we doing at practicing? How, and even with our practice, how much are we doing, how are we doing it at modeling it? I don't think that, I got there's days when I get irritated, just because of the rawness of the emotions, and that's part of chronic grief, is you are going to struggle with the emotional aspect of it. And my wife has been amazing at this. She is amazing. She's gone through her own pain with her parents, and that's another time maybe having her on to share about that. But, you know, she gets it. She understands it. She's walked through it. And that's been such a help, to me, you know, and in my better moments, I'm always saying thank you, to my wife and I'm sorry if I'm irritable. She's like, no, I really do understand, you know, and I just hate seeing you this way.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the grief, it certainly has a ripple effect on those that are closest to you. And it manifests itself physiologically as well. And so the need for you to be able to rest so that you can, by God's grace, engage with those spiritual disciplines and on Lord's Day, those means of grace that God uses to grow you and shape you and comfort you and minister to you, the getting the rest that you need plays a part in lowering the levels of irritability towards your wife and, you know, those moments where not resting makes you more susceptible to handling it all very poorly. And again, just being in this vicious cycle that you're feeding. And so I think you know, discerning that, hey, I need to not work 14, 15 hour days, and I need to throttle back some so that I can have the emotional fortitude to process well and the emotional fortitude to love the people closest to me well, even though I'm in the midst of grieving. Because I think a pitfall is, you know, so you can get caught up in, someone could get caught up in grief. They're not processing it well. They begin sinning against those close to them. And instead of recognizing that, calling it what it is, repenting of it, they take on this kind of just this victim mentality of, you know, I'm lashing out because I'm in grief, and give me space. Whereas there are things that can be done to help you navigate that in a more healthy way, because the grief in and of itself isn't, again, it's not bad. You can adopt, it's adopting even some biblical language, you know, biblically calling it lament, and thinking about it that way. And so it's not that the lamenting suffering and death, and missing someone, none of those things are bad. But the enemy wants to use those things for your spiritual harm and for, to make you unproductive for the kingdom of God and for, to make you a person that's difficult to get along with in your, those relationships closest to you.
Yeah. And I agree with that. And one of the things that I have a pattern with is dwelling on things.
Yeah.
It's not a good habit.
Yeah.
You know, dwelling on it and then where you're then thinking about it. And it's really hard to break. It's really, really hard to break, but you know, we have a sure and sufficient word, right? So yeah. We can meditate on that, and in our better moments and our better days, we know that, or we should know that. You know that if you've definitely listened to this show, because I definitely have talked about meditation on this show, and we've talked about all of that. But you know, it's practicing it. It's putting it into practice. It's, you know, so for me, that means like when I do feel that I'm kind of reaching the end and it feels like I'm so raw, that's the time when I need to turn off my laptop. The time when I need to go pray and then maybe after I prayed, see how I am, you know, maybe I'll end up taking a nap and then I'm just like, I'll usually go to Sarah since she works from home and I'll be like, do you think I should do any more today? And she's, most of the time she's like, no, just chill out. And there would have been a time when I probably would have just gone back and done what I, gone back to work and all that, but it has been good. And then I noticed maybe a few hours later or later in the evening or the next day, I'm in a much better frame of mind and that really helps, to take it. And there would have been a time in my 20s when I would have pushed through all of it. I just would have not necessarily stuffed it down, but just not taken the time. And so take the time. You know, if you're, you know, my situation is a little bit different than everybody else's, so I need to qualify that a bit. But like, take the time, you know, on your day off or something like that. You know, if it's a family member, you get time off, you know, with the family leave act, and take that time that you get. If it's a family member, take that time, get some help. If you're having a problem, there's nothing better than, you know, to take that time to address things. And I've noticed I am a pretty compassionate and caring guy, but I've noticed that it's even increased more. And I think a lot of it has to do with just being more proactive. And, you know, I've noticed a guy who reads, and one of the things I think you pointed out early on when we were talking about is just make sure I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I think that we can just get into this rut, and I know I'm guilty of it, of just doing it. And am I really enjoying the writing? Am I enjoying the recording? Am I enjoying doing what I'm doing? And it really is and I know it in my better moments that all of this is a privilege and all of it is God's grace, of course. And that, it's an amazing blessing to have whatever the Lord has given me. And I don't deserve any of it. I deserve the opposite of it, all of it. And yet God has chosen to be gracious and kind. And so, even just reflecting on that and getting up in the morning and saying, thank you, Lord, for today, has been huge for me in this lamenting grief loss process. And it helps to reorient my perspective.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, it's grief definitely, I mean, one symptom of depression is prolonged sadness, which can be super vague, but a part of grief is a prolonged sadness, and a byproduct of that can be, man, you're not enjoying the things that you once enjoyed, and things kind of seem colorless and tasteless, and those are all signs of a form of depression, and so being mindful of that, paying, as you were saying, paying attention to those moments where you can tell, man, I need to take a step back, and I need to care for my own body and soul, so that I can, by God's grace, trend healthy. That's good, and you can't do it alone, right? You've got to, Lord willing, people even listening to this are connected to a local church, and have people speaking into their life about this issue, if this is an issue they're find themselves in the midst of. And speaking of rest, I mean, God designed things in such a way that He built in rest for us, and so to avail ourselves of the Christian Sabbath and the means of grace, and to truly disengage from the work and labors of the other 6 days of the week. I mean, we at least can't go more than 7 days without needing rest according to the way God's designed things. And so to kind of push what you're dealing with down or ignore it, and to try to just go full steam ahead, it's eventually going to come out. And you're going to eventually have to deal with it. And if you go down the trajectory of not dealing with it in the way in which the Lord would have you deal with it, you end up dealing with it, unfortunately, in kind of a crash and burn sort of way.
I mean, that's why people have mental health issues.
Yeah.
They go, that's why people end up in mental health institutions and other things, and on a great deal of medication, and have severe diagnoses. And they prove that over and over again, just from a psychological perspective. So don't do that. Please don't. I was just going to say, as you were talking, I was thinking about it. Something that's really helpful to me is to look for look for godly and mature people that, you enjoy talking with, and that'd be proactive in saying, hey, can I talk to you about, I'm going through this. Can I, talk to you about, and just kind of gauge their response. And then you'll know right away if they're a person that you can trust, that you can really open up and share with. I've had to, since I've moved in the last 5 years, 3 times over 700 miles, I've had to be proactive for this. And it's something that I really am quite passionate about, because I think that, especially in my role in ministry and what I do, I take accountability very seriously, as you know. And it's something that I think I wish that more Christian leaders would do. But in that, I'm just saying that I've had to be more proactive in looking, hey, is this person going to be a trust? Are they sharp theologically? Are they pretty solid? I mean, that takes some time but are they a safe person? Can I trust them? And you kind of just feel it out. It's not one of these, I've thought about how do I get it so that I can explain to somebody. It's not, I don't think, are they sharp theologically? Are they solid theologically? Meaning, do they know the Bible? Do they know their theology? And then when you talk to them, does it seem like they have some sort of maturity behind them and a little bit of life experience, or the opposite? Are they harsh? Are they critical? Do they lack self-control? And so when you know that that person is solid and helpful and trustworthy, and then you know when they're not. And I think it's a fine line sometimes, where you're like, with some things I can open up with this person, and some other things I'm like, I held back, and it's okay, to hold back at times, in some things. It's okay to go all the way in, and then you kind of gauge it and think, you know, it's hard to, I think, like just generally speaking, it's hard to give a good explanation of that. Generally, how do you know? But I think those are some things I would say to just,
you know, when you see it, sort of deal.
Yeah. I think you know it when you see it, and you know it when you experience it. But it just generally, I think those are a couple things I would say just to look for.
Yeah. I, one of the things that came to mind as you were talking too, just about a mentor or trusted friend or counselor or whoever it is that you end up connecting with. But if you're wrestling with grief, the timetable is different. You know, it affects people different ways. It, the intensity of the season is it's a different length for every person. And so it really isn't a one size fits all. There's no cookie cutter approach to addressing it. But so that's both to those who would care for people wrestling with it, but also, you know, for someone who's wrestling with it themselves, it's you're uniquely created in God's image. There's some things that you're not unique in, but as it relates to just your own temperament, personality, the way you process, it just is gonna, it may look different for you than it looks for someone else. And then for those that are providing counsel, to be gentle and to be patient and not harsh.
Yeah. Maybe you want to touch on that some more.
Just what's that?
How do we care for those who are going and struggling with grief and loss?
Yes.
Touching on those things that you were just saying.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, my assumption is we would be talking about it in the context of the local church. And so you've got the local church as a resource at your disposal. And so we're obligated as Christians to bear one another's burdens. And so, you know, we've got to operate with that mindset that we're to bear one another's burdens. And I think that a wise, helpful friend or counselor or pastor, it needs to comprehend the situation before he decides to speak into it. Again, be accommodating to the unique image bearer that's sitting across from you. Be mindful of their whole person, both body and soul, and how those things are, you know, they're interconnected with one another, and so that needs to be a part of counsel. Don't speak beyond what you know, and so don't pretend that you can give counsel in a particular area if really you're not equipped to speak into it. But which, you know, could go into a direction of making sure you have the resources to point someone in the right direction to go find someone that can speak into that situation. But then also don't forget that you're dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God in the counsel that you give. And so it should be prayerful. It should be mindful of the presence of the Spirit of God. And it should be biblical. And the counsel that's given, and with a long term, not that you're meeting forever or, you know, for years, but don't think, man, we met a couple of times and everything's good. Let's move on. Like have the long view in mind, especially if they're in the context of the local church. It's not, don't try to move. Don't try to force sanctification growth. Don't try to force lamenting. Don't try to force the timetable on grief, all of those things, because that's not your jurisdiction.
Mm. That's really an important thing that you just said, because I think that we do take a kind of like you were mentioning earlier, a cookie cutter approach to things. And then what that does is, like, rather than, you had a few conversations, like you were saying, but then one conversation could lead to another, and maybe that person thinks about it, and then they're like, hey, or they should be thinking about it if they're seeking help. And then that provides another opportunity to have another conversation about it.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth. And I think that's a really good, important thing, because we can just take that approach. Here's everything that I know. And that's not the most helpful.
Yeah. And the person will probably walk away thinking they didn't listen to me or hear me. You know, there's a book called, it's Martin Lloyd-Jones, but he didn't write the book. It's a bunch of his lecture. It's some lectures that were compiled and put into a book called, I think the book's called Healing of the Scriptures or something. And it was a series of lectures that he gave to Christians, but particularly Christians in the medical field. I was made up of all Christians or not, but it was a distinctly Christian lecture that was given. And he was, pushing on medical practitioners about the tendency that even they have to approach a patient with a kind of a cookie cutter approach, and not comprehending the what he called the whole person, and so if that was something that medical practitioners needed to be lectured on, then certainly it's something that we could heed the advice of really trying to comprehend the person so far as it depends on us. We want to be good stewards, and so trying to comprehend the person that's sitting in front of us so that we can give the most helpful counsel to them.
Yeah. What would you say to the Christian leader, whatever position or title they have, you know, in the church or outside of it, what would you say is the most helpful thing that they can do to process their grief?
If they're grieving?
Yeah.
Be in community. I would say I think our spiritual enemy, the devil, I think wants to use grief to isolate you. Which is a common characteristic of people wrestling with depression. They're often isolated and hidden, and that becomes a comfortable place for them, even though they're miserable. Like and the longer you sit in isolation and cultivate that bad habit, the harder it is to get out of that. And so I would say that for someone who's grieving, they're gut reaction may be to be private. And I'm personality wise, I'm more introverted. And so that would even be my own tendency of just being kind of more private and to myself. But I would say to lean against that, to find what you were just saying, just, you know, someone that you trust, someone maybe with some gray hairs in their head that they've got some life behind them. They love the Lord. And just seek to share with them your own struggles and your own wrestling. And for people that aren't in that place and they're connected to the local church, try to be the person that person would want to come to. And even from a pastoral standpoint, I think acknowledging suffering and grief and depression when the text is, serves that to make for a hospitable environment in the church in which people can wrestle and struggle with that is critical as well, because the pulpit sets the spiritual temperature of the church.
Yeah. Just speaking of the pulpit, would you talk about that from the pulpit about your struggle? How would you do that?
Yeah. I'll give you an actual example. So the book that I'm getting ready to put out on depression, the origins of that book, it was a sermon that I preached at the local church that planted the church I'm pastoring at now. And my original text was Psalm 77. I think that was just a text I happened to be assigned, because it's been years since I preached it. But the wrestle of the psalmist in that passage of scripture and how vulnerable he was, and the the vocabulary that he gave, the words that were given to him by the Spirit of God to address his depression in a worshipful way. And you even see it, Psalm 42, Psalm 43, why are you disquiet? He's speaking to the soul. It's almost this self-counseling that you see where he's the psalmist is asking the soul, why are you disquieted within me? Find comfort, find hope, find joy in the Lord. You know, that's not all that he's saying. I'm giving like a crazy paraphrase, but that's the gist.
Joey's paraphrase, everybody.
Joey's paraphrase. But when I preached that, and I spent time on depression specifically, I was surprised by how many people in just in our local church at the time reached out to me and thanked me because they were hearing their struggle articulated with the sacred words of Scripture from the pulpit, which helped them see a path toward gospel hope. And I remember I had written a whole lot more than what I preached from the pulpit. And just based on that response, I realized this is a big need and in a gap in just Christian literature in general. And so I say that to give an example of that was just one sermon from a pulpit that was probably the most feedback I had ever personally received on any sermon I've ever preached. And it was because there were a lot of people sitting in our congregation that were silently struggling with depression, with grief, with, you know, it clusters. And so all of its companions that come along with it, and many of them felt isolated. And in preaching that sermon, for some of them, was a step towards struggling in community for them, or provoking them to struggle in community. While at the same time, my hope was is that it was a starting point, an equipping point, perhaps for helpers in the congregation that would have eyes for those suffering saints.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good. And this kind of brings me to the heart of this episode, really, because, you know, we're coming out, or supposedly coming out of, I'll say it that way, COVID-19.
What's COVID?
COVID-19, you know.
I haven't heard of it.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah. You know, this season of, you know, where a lot of people have lost family members and friends, even church members. And that's kind of why I wanted to do this episode is, you know, and then I think what we've done is we've talked about, you know, caring for one another and then caring for ourselves as made in the image of God in the local church, which I love, and then finding the help that we need. But, you know, what would you say to the person who, you know, and of course, you know, being that I have struggled with chronic grief, you know, what would you say to the person that is really struggling with this? They're having a really hard time, you know, coming out of it. Maybe they even had COVID and then they lost somebody, which is true of me.
So you're saying coming out of the last couple of years of COVID and grieving the loss of someone
of somebody and the traumatic nature of it and those things. What would you say to the Christian who's in that right now?
Yeah. I would definitely say, a first step, again, assuming you're in the context of a local church, would be to make moves toward the elders, toward the leadership of that church and give voice to the struggle, if you're able to do that. And so I would encourage that to be a first step, because I think that's connected. That's what's connected to the other counsel I would give, which is to don't succumb to despair. Don't be paralyzed. You don't want to flounder, and live in defeat, which is again where your spiritual enemy wants you to be. And so I would certainly say first move toward the leaders in your local church context and make make your struggle known and ask for help. If for whatever reason you don't find help there, I would seek out help through a biblical counselor. And so, and there's, you know, you could go through CCEF's website to try to find counselors. You can go through ACBC's website as well to try to find count. You know, you can, there's a couple of different places that, websites that you can go to look for biblical counselors in your particular area. If you aren't able to connect with anyone in your local church that can help you. And if once you do that and you find those people, they can help resource you with whether that be books to help shape your thinking or, but even mainly praying with you, praying for you, opening the scriptures, being available to you, giving you space to talk, and to process, right? And so that would be my just initial encouragement. Again, assuming the listener's in a local church somewhere.
Yeah.
And just remember, God is sovereign, right? And so the world's not spinning out of control. COVID-19 didn't take God by surprise. And so he's sovereign, but then he's also, remember, he's good. Like he's both of those things. And so it's good that he's in absolute control because he's the only one that's truly good. And in the midst of grief and sorrow, that can be a hard thing to remember, but remind yourself of it, and your emotions, by God's grace, will one day catch up with what you know to be true.
That is so good, brother. Yeah, that is so good. And, you know, even though you and I have been talking, and I know you know this, but just for the sake of our listeners, I'll share this too. Just because Joey lives in Virginia, I live in Oregon, I'm still talking to people, you know, the pastors, at least one of them,
yeah,
a couple of them know about what's happening. And then, you know, the guy who leads my small group is also a supervisor of chaplains in the area. And so he knows as well. And he's been a help to me, too. And others have, too. I mean, on and on. There are other friends in ministry that have a lot of experience. And, you know, probably the most helpful thing is just saying, I'm so sorry to hear that. I'm praying for you.
Yeah.
I'm praying for comfort for you. And I'm here to listen. You know, that just goes so far. That's kindness. That's the, you know, the fruit of the Spirit in action, really. And that just, yeah, it just goes a long way with people,
yeah,
you know, to have them open up and share. And, you know, so yeah, like Joey said, be intentional. The first step, go to your pastors, go to those. If you're in a small, go to them, share with them, during, you know, a lot of the time, there'll be a time of prayer, share that. And I know that's going to be really hard, you know, cause you might not know them. You might not want to open up, but do it anyway. It's going to be uncomfortable. But it's the uncomfortable, because you never know how God might use that in their life, but you need it more than that concern. You need it. And, you know, it is sometimes uncomfortable. Like, I get uncomfortable sharing on social media about my dad all the time because, well, then I also hear about it from other people. But they also tell me thank you for sharing about it.
Yeah.
And that just reminds me that I need to keep sharing about it, because – yes, it's hard to share about, and this is hard to share about too, but I'm not doing it for the thank you. I'm doing it because I think that we do need to talk about it, and I do think that a lot of people are struggling in silence, and part of our job as Christians is to be an encouragement and a means of help to one another. And so I think that we've done that in this episode, so I really appreciate it, brother.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so where can people go to find you on social media, or tell us a little bit about the podcast that you do and those things, and then we'll... What do you want to give? Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm on Twitter, so I think my Twitter handle is @Joey_Tomlinson, and I'm on Facebook, so you can, assuming, type my name in there and find me. So I'm on both of those places, but I have a website that I host with another, just a brother pastor in the area. He pastors another church just in the next town over. And it's broadoakpiety.org. And we do a bi-weekly-ish podcast. And then we try to, when we have time to publish articles. And so we do not keep up with all that you do, my brother, but we do try to put out some helpful content to help aid people as they're connecting in their local church. So, and you can find the podcast, you can find it wherever it is that you get your podcasts.
Yeah. And I've been on the podcast.
You've been on. Yes. We had you on about your book.
Yeah, about my first one, and you guys did good work, so I encourage you to check.
Thanks, brother.
Any last thoughts that you have for us, brother?
No, I don't have. My prayer is that this would be a good, perhaps first step for someone who may be struggling out there. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, brother, for your time and for all the energy that you put into helping me and that you continue to do. I really appreciate it.
Hey, it's my pleasure, my brother.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you for listening to the Equipping You in Grace podcast. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe, rate us on the app, and share this with your friends and family on social media. If you want to find us on social media, you can find us on Twitter at Servants of Grace, on Instagram at Servants of Grace, or by searching at Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find this episode and many others like it on the front page of our website, servantsofgrace.org.